Congressman Tim Walberg. He is, I believe, are you in your district today?
I am. I'm on my way to Chelsea, in fact.
And what do you have going on today?
Well, we've got a number of meetings, including luncheon meetings at Rotary Clubs and a Rotary Club, and meeting with districts, doing a cable TV interview. Well, just a lot of stuff. And weekend we had parades and commencement speeches and three town halls. So we're delighted to be back in the district. Gives us the opportunity to bring people up to date with what's going on in Washington. Hear from them, their comments and concerns. Of course, so last week, with a full week to talk about at the very beginning, the debt ceiling hike vote that was taken and defeated, the meeting with the president of subsequent to that, and then, of course, Homeland Security budget bill, the first of 12 budget bills that was passed. Well, we have, that was the first one. We have 11 more to go. And then the final vote on Libya, and where Congress took a strong stance and asked the president to respond. So it was a full week with now a lot of opportunities to talk with people back in the district.
I want to know a little bit about the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the DCCC. Every time you make a move, they seem to be jumping on top of those moves that you do make. And in a new report by them, they said a plan, your plan, would cost 500,000 residents their Medicare in your district. Is that true?
Well, we won't pull any punches here, Tony. You know, I'm a fairly straight talker, and I'm not saying this in a pejorative sense, but that's a normal lie that they're putting out. We won't call it prevarication. We won't call it misinformation. We'll just call it a straight lie. They've, for years, been trying to scare and smear with using senior citizens, especially, as their pawns. And I think it's unconscionable. And frankly, I think it's starting to lose any of its punch, as seen by the last election when they attempt to do the same thing with Social Security. They're talking about the Paul Ryan budget proposed plan that was passed overwhelmingly in the House with Democrat support, that went to the Senate, and thus far has failed in the Senate. But the only alternative out there, we're proud to say that when you have a problem that Medicare, even the Medicare Commission came out 3 weeks ago and said it's going broke 2 years earlier than originally planned, coming down in 2023 at this point in time. And if we don't continue to do something to shore it up and to secure the promise of Medicare for those that are on Medicare or those that soon will be, it will be broke. And the Democrats have offered no plan. When we stood in the White House last week and Paul Ryan had an opportunity to question the president, one of the key things he said, "Mr. President, you may not approve of our proposal, but at least we put one forward. It's time for you to step up and offer an alternative and not just rhetoric that's demagoguing, throwing grandma off the cliff, because that's not what we're doing, but that's exactly what you will do if you do nothing." Tony, I've told people in town hall meetings, it's kind of like going to the doctor's office, doctor saying after a test, I'm so sorry, but you have cancer. But we have options. We can do chemo, we can do radiation, we can do this new experimental drug that's showing some promise, or we can do surgery. None of the above are we absolutely certain that they will provide cure. But there's one other alternative that you can choose if you want, and that's doing nothing. But I have to tell you, my special opinion is that's the best sentence. And that's frankly where we're at, between the Republican plan that secures Medicare, that puts in place an opportunity for younger people in the future to have the same health care plan that members of Congress and federal employees have, versus doing nothing that the president and the Democrats and the DCCC are doing. I think people will very soon see that that type of rhetoric is demagoguery of the worst kind, and in fact is a lie.
Well, as we speak, tell me where we stand with the budget deficit. I know that the debt ceiling needs, let's just say this, the Democrats want to raise that debt ceiling. Where do we stand with that proposition?
Well, right now we stand with the one vote that has been taken in the House last week. That was a straight up or down vote that the president was calling for, and finally Speaker Boehner said, okay, it is not going to pass, I can tell you that, and you won't have all the Democrats either. But we'll put it up, straight up or down vote like you want, on lifting the debt ceiling to an additional $2.4 trillion increase with no concessions, no spending cuts, nothing like that. And it was put up, it went in flames with Democrats going with the Republicans and opposing the debt hike. Now we are in negotiations with the president, continuing to negotiate with leadership in the House and Senate and saying, listen, unless you're at the very least, and there are some that of us that don't feel that's enough, but at the very least, you're going to have to cut spending equal to what you increase the debt ceiling to show some seriousness about it. Then other concessions, we're talking about zero-based budgeting, a balanced budget amendment, the first year of the Paul Ryan proposal implemented right away. Serious steps towards saying, we are broke, and we are spending our kids' and our grandkids' future right now before they've even had a chance to sign up for Social Security card. That's the direction we're going, Tony. I think that's the direction, at least polling shows, 80% of the American public, including those in the 7th District, do not want a debt ceiling hike unless there are significant cuts. And that's the proposal that we're offering, and I hope the president will respond to it after seeing what took place last week in a positive way.
People in mid-Michigan are very concerned about gas prices. We know there have been some challenges with Chicago refineries. And what can you do to help us?
Well, what we've done so far, I think, would go a long way in helping reduce the cost of price of the pump. Last night I paid $4.11. a gallon. When I left last week to go to Washington on Tuesday afternoon, I paid $3.84 at the pump. This is going the wrong direction. So we've offered several bills already that have been passed in the House and sent to the Senate and lie there right now awaiting action that will lift permitoriums on permitting the construction of refineries, the permitting of drilling further spots in this country. We passed a bill that would lift the moratoriums on drilling offshore in the Gulf, as well as off of Virginia, and in Anwar. Those are moving toward increasing our supply of our own resources and not Saudi Arabia or anyone else. Secondly, we're attempting to put our budget back in line to see if we can possibly bring the value of the dollar up, because you know, Tony, as well as I do, that if the dollar has been devalued because of a bad economy and bad fiscal policy and huge debt, that it takes more dollars to buy a barrel of oil. And so all of that going together is causing the problem, and I think at least from my side of the aisle, we're attempting to hit it on the fiscal area, the economic area, our spending budget area, and also on the permitting giving incentive for using, finding, securing our own resources.
Congressman, I always wondered why Michigan didn't have more refineries. It would seem to make sense from the aspect we build so many vehicles here, so many of the parts are manufactured here, and we've got that great international border.
Right. And, you know, and to look at how long it took to get the permits and finally ultimately get the concluded production of the Marathon oil refinery in the Detroit area gives example why it is just almost impossible to get through that process to get a permit, and then without the incentive to have our own resources tapped all across this great land, from Anwar in Alaska to the Gulf Coast and everything in between where we can do it. It is just unconscionable, and in fact, I think it is anti-American to not encourage ourselves to be independent from the rest of the world. I think I mentioned to you in recent interviews, having met with Benjamin Netanyahu in his office in Jerusalem back in February, that was one thing he said to us, basically the only criticism he gave to us in a friendly way, but nonetheless a straightforward way as American members of Congress sitting in his office. He said, listen, for America not to be independent from this earthquake zone, speaking of that Middle East area, with its energy policy, is to put yourself in a state of insecurity. And if you are insecure as the greatest country on this earth, then all of the rest of us are insecure as well. And I think we've got to get serious. The taxpayer, I think, has awakened significantly and is pushing it, and Congress better respond, not only the House of Representatives, but the Senate and the White House have to listen also.
All right, Congressman, before I let you go, I wanted to see where you stood on the proposed bridge from Detroit to Windsor. Have you had any conversations with Rick Snyder and or his administration, and what's your take? Do we need another bridge?
Well, I've had conversations with his administration and with other members of the legislature have asked. It is not an issue that we are dealing with in Congress, but I personally am opposed to it. I'm opposed to it on one reason alone, and that's the fact that we cannot show that there is significant census need for crossing that bridge. Right now it's down on the Ambassador and the Blue Water Bridge. The economy is down. We have a private sector individual who is willing to put up his own money to put in place a new bridge at the location of the Ambassador Bridge. I think we ought to give that the opportunity first, as opposed to any type of public taxpayer-supported, whether it comes from Canada, a loan of $550 million, which I see as a real problem, or whether it comes from the state of Michigan taxpayers. Let's use the private sector when we can. If that is not enough, we have the opportunities with in the future to displace a lot of homes, a lot of families, taxpayer dollars used to upgrade the infrastructure. We can do it at that time. But right now, when we have a private sector entity that's shown they know how to do it for almost 100 years now, let's go with that.
And one more quick question. Obviously, you're probably going to be in favor of this, but I saw a redistricting plan where you would gain parts of Monroe County and close to 9,000 votes that went to another Republican candidate when he ran for Congress. What's your take on that? Would you like to take on a little bit bigger district?
Well, we're going to take on a bigger district one way or another because of the loss of one House seat here in Michigan in Congress. So it's automatically that we're going to get more on our plate, and I look forward to whatever that'll be. I've seen a number of maps, including the one I think you're talking about, but that's a state legislature responsibility. All I've asked them is to do the Hippocratic Oath on me, if at all possible. I've said, do me no harm.
Well, we appreciate talking with you, Congressman. Enjoy your day, and as always, we appreciate.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and have a great week.